But at least the one saving grace of going first is that if we go too long, it's not my fault. Not kidding. Okay, I'm just joking. Chas v'shalom. I'm going to keep it short because that just means that there's more time for me to hear from my rebbeim. I was always bothered at the Seder, the insertion of the paragraph Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. I always loved the tune as a kid, but it sort of hangs in the middle of nowhere because it doesn't really have anything that expressly addresses the inyanim of the Seder, the inyanim of the Yontif. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu, Shernosim Torah Lama Yisrael. It's definitely a theme. Kabbalah Satorah is a theme. We find it in Dayenu, but it's not something which speaks to Leil HaSeder per se. And moreover, the fact that it finds that particular place towards the very beginning also needs a hesber. I'm trying to address that first. We mentioned in Shir, the Vilna Gaon points out, above and beyond what Rav Shelter said at the end of the Q&A the other day, that in time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a fifth question. It wasn't just the Man Shanas that we're familiar with, but he also had one regarding the Korban Pesach and the unique way in which the Korban Pesach was a part of the Leil HaSeder. So the emphasis of the Vilna Gaon says that there's another fifth question, and that is Man Shanah HaLaila HaZeh Mikol Leilos, in its own right, is highlighting something beyond the specific Maisim that are outlined when we go through the four questions. Question is, Man Shanah HaLaila HaZeh, why is night so important? Why is it that all the mitzvahs that we're supposed to perform this evening are dafke at night? There's a Mishnah Megillah that says that all the mitzvahs throughout the year, whether it be Megillah, Hallel, Inyonim and Kodshim, everything's always during the daytime. If you read the Megillah after the sun sets on Purim, you miss the boat. If you shake Lulav after the sun sets on Purim, you miss the boat. So why is it Man Shanah HaLaila HaZeh, that there's something about the Laila that is the focal point and the prerequisite for all the mitzvahs? We don't find that through the rest of the year. So one theme that we find in many Sfarim, together in Shir, we looked at the Kuntres from Karolenstein, that there's an Indian, when it comes to Leil HaSeder, that even though it's Laila, even though all the mitzvahs have to be performed dafka at night, at the same time there's a fulfillment of a pasuk in Tehillim, Laila Kiyom Yoyer, that the nighttime is illuminated as if it's a daytime. The psukim seem to indicate that directly when you refer to Vigata Levincha Bayomahu. Again and again throughout the Torah, we're talking about speaking to our children on this day, but it's not the daytime; it's nighttime. And the Zohar says that the sun didn't set that day when Makkas Bechoros hit at Chatzos. It was broad daylight. Barak, one of the Chosham members of the Shir, pointed out that maybe it was an additional shtach. The Egyptians worshipped Ra, the sun god. And right in broad daylight, when he was, so to speak, presiding over the world, when the sun was still out in the middle of the night, that's when the Kodesh Baruch Hu took the ultimate vengeance. Beautiful horror. There's something about the night being illuminated. And that's the emphasis on HaLaila HaZeh in the Man Shana, just the Ha'ara. In the time of Ma'amin Hagim, this pasuk, Laila Kiyom Yor, is also mentioned every Friday night. Why is it that when you leave shul after davening Friday, no one says good night? No one says good evening to each other. You always say good Shabbos. So time in Hagen brings that the reason is also every Friday night is Laila Kiyom Yor. There's no good night because there's no night. Shabbos is completely filled with the or that defies the time of day and whether or not the sun is out or the moon is out at that particular time. I want to focus on something else to come back to the Hamakom. So Hamakom is a unique lashon that a unique name that we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which appears in specific places and specific contexts, and not elsewhere. And maybe that'll help shed light on its place here at the Haggadah, in the Haggadah. So Hamakom is found, number one, in the Gemara, the basis for our practice of the Menachem Avelim with the words Hamokim Yenachem Estan. That doesn't appear in the Gemara, but the Gemara does have in Shabbos Hafti Beis that when you come to visit a chola, you're supposed to say Hamokim Yerachem. You say Hamokim Rachem as well. That was originally formulated by Chazal in the context of a chola. So we see, whether it be an Avel, whether it be a chola, Mokom is something it's a term we use to refer to Kodesh Baruch Hu in an Eistar, when someone's undergoing some sort of difficulty. Where else do we find that? Yaakov Avinu is running away. Dinu Parshas Vayetzeh. By Yifka Ba'Mokom. He approaches, he arrives at the place. Gemara says in Brachos, at the beginning of the fourth parak, Ein Pegia El Lashon Tefillah. That's where Yaakov Avinu daven Meirev. He davened the tefillah of nighttime, Ba'Mokom. The Kiddush Arim points out in Parshas Vayera, Vayares HaMokom Merachok. Kodesh Baruch Hu is directing Avraham Avinu to the Mokom HaMoriah, to Har Moriah, where the Akedah is supposed to take place, and it's Vayaris HaMokom Merachok. He sees the place from afar. What's the Tzad HaShavah between these two situations? Both Avraham Avinu and Yaakov are encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a distance. For Avraham Avinu, it's Vayaris HaMokom Merachok. He's about to slaughter the son that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him was going to be the beginning and the continuation and the future of Klal Yisrael. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses himself to Avraham Avinu, and it's Merachok, it's from a distance, and he's referred to as HaMokom. Likewise, Yaakov Avinu instituting the Tefillah of Ma'ariv. Emunascha Balelos, when things are dark, when it's an Eis Tzara, so the Mokom expresses itself once more as the way that Yaakov Avinu is able to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again and again throughout Tanakh, we find that same type of motif in the context of HaMokom. Truth is, it's correct in our tefillah also. The Rav pointed out, Rav Ganak quotes this in Parshas Vayitze, I think, maybe Vayigash in Berachos Yitzchak, it's Sefer HaTorah. So we find two sides of the dichotomy in our Kedusha on Shabbos morning. On the one hand, there's a notion of Melochol Arts Kvodo, the Nevuos of Yeshaya, who had the most direct connection with the Kodesh Baruch when the Beis HaMikdash was around, and he had a vision of being inside the Beis HaMikdash with the Malachim and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, of Atzmo, the Kisei HaKavod. And also within the same Kedusha, we refer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mimkom Chomalkeinu Sophia, Baruch Hu Hashem Mimkomo. What does that mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are somewhere. I don't know where you are exactly. Somewhere at a distance. I can't discern it. I can't point to it. But I know you're there somewhere. But again, expressing the fact that there's some sort of separation. There's some sort of feeling of being in the darkness, in far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is in HaMakom somewhere over there. So that's how we open up the Seder. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this element of distance. What's the significance of that? So on the baseline level, the word is that we have to start the Seder. Maskel Begnus Messiah Mishvach. The idea is to express the transition from the Shibud to the Geula, ultimately at the end of the Parsha of Shibud Mitzrayim. And the way we do that most effectively is by starting and showing how bad things were when we were in Mitzrayim. But we usually focus on the physical Shibud, but there's much more to that. I think that's what the Haggadah is trying to tell us. That if you think that the Shibud Mitzrayim was just the slavery, just the fact that we weren't free and that we were engaging in back-breaking labor and Paro had control over us, you're missing the boat. It's the fact that when we were in that state, our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu was also compromised severely. That we were not living the closeness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence felt upon us every single day, but it was the Mokom. It was a Kodesh Baruch Hu as Mokom. Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, the transformation that we experienced through the Geula was to go from HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mokom, being so far away from us, to being right there, right in front of us, through the Nisim Gluyim that took place when we left Mitzrayim. The idea is that when we come to the Seder, we have to realize how far we were from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midrashim say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to perform Makas Bechoros, things were so bad, things were so low, Klal Yisrael on the Memtes Shari Tuma, that the reason why Makas Bechoros had to be performed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the Ba'atma was because if Hashem had sent a Malach to Mitzrayim to perform the Makkah, the Malach wouldn't have made it out alive. It's hard to imagine exactly what that means. A Malach, pure fire, pure Ruchnius, would have been contaminated just by being in Mitzrayim. And that's where we were living for hundreds of years. And Nemesal and Hagadah explains that's the symbolism of chametz and matzah being just a few regoim like this and like that, going from one to the other. Lo hispik b'tzekam, the lahachmetz. It wasn't a chance for it to be machmetz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not let Klal Yisrael stay in Mitzrayim for even one second longer because they would have been totally lost. And it was literally do or die at that moment because things were so, so bad. So bad that if we weren't taken out right then we never would have made it. So, bottom line on both sides. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to put us in this richuk of makom? Why was it that he had to wait till we were at the last moment before he took us out? So about 4 or 5 years ago, in this room, Howard Jonas spoke to BMP. It's a very interesting lecture. Those of you who know who Howard Jonas is, he's a multi-millionaire. He's the CEO of IDT, very big Baal Chesed, very big Baal Tzedakah. And he spoke about some of his experiences. And one thing he mentioned when he was talking about his strategies for success, said that the biggest moves that he was able to pull off leading the corporation were hires that he made strategically at just the right moment. And the example he gave, and I'm not holding, but you can Google this. That's the only way I know any information about this. Michael Colburn, I believe, was the CEO of AOL at a time when the company was absolutely failing. And they kicked him out. They fired him. And at that point, if you were the ousted CEO of a very unsuccessful corporation, no one wants to hire you. No one's interested in taking you on because you just blew it for another company. He said, that's exactly when I hired those guys. And he took on Michael Colburn and he made him one of his chief executives. Why? Because if you're one of 10 teams bidding for the highest players, for the best player in the league, and you got the player just because you offered him another $5 million on the contract, so Be'etzem, if you ask him, he's doing you a favor by coming to your team. He's doing you a favor, because I could have gone there, I could have gone there, I could have gone there. If you get someone when they're mamish at the bottom, you pick them up off from the gutter, that will be the most loyal and most devoted and most grateful employee you ever hire. Because they're totally indebted to you. There was no one else who was going to take them out of the dump except for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to the lowest of the low, rock bottom, to the Hamakom, such a place which is so far and so rachuk that we can't even identify how far we are, in order to take us out just at that last second, because when we see how far we can go and how close HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us just like that to the top, so then there's an unbreakable bond that's formed. And the avoda of Leil HaSeder is to realize that we can make the same type of transition. That there is no further that we can fall that makes it impossible for us to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we start from Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, and we end with Shiros V'Tishbach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you for taking us from as far away from you as we could have been, and bring us as close as we possibly can be to be a Mamlachas Kohanim Goy Kadosh. And the same way that's the theme of the original Gula from Mitzrayim, so too we hope Mirz Hashem the theme of the future Gula will also be orchestrated in the same light, and to never give up hope on a personal level, on a communal level, and to realize that no matter what we're suffering from, physical suffering or spiritual and emotional suffering, the distance is surmountable and traversable by Kadosh Baruch Hu in a snap of a finger.
Since Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol, I want to try to share something about Shabbos HaGadol just to launch into the world of the Seder. They just put out another new Sefer from Rav Avram Shor. He puts out a Sefer about every week for those who are familiar with his Sarm. A brand new one just came out this year. A couple new ones came out this year. One just came out very recently on Nisan and Iyar. And in the first piece on Shabbos HaGadol, he discusses, as so many others do, why is Shabbos HaGadol called Shabbos HaGadol? What's so gadol about this Shabbos? So he references the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Gemara in Bava Metzia, Yud Beis Amud Beis says that the definition of katan and gadol is not necessarily defined by one's age. It's not necessarily defined by some other assessment of greatness. What does it mean to be a gadol? Chaver read the Sfasir of Weinberger yesterday. Learned a lot about this. A gadol means a person of achrayus, a person of independence. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that a person who has reached the age of gadlus but is still somech al shulchan aviv, is still dependent on someone else to pay his bills, that's a katan. But a person, even if he's a katan, who is eino somech al shulchan aviv, is not dependent upon someone else, that's a gadol. A gadol is a person who's not dependent upon someone else. So Rav Avram Shor, Kedarko B'Kodesh, in his very fiery way, talks about what does it mean that Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim to be mekabel the Torah, and they were no longer somech al shulchano shel acherim. They didn't have to rely upon any other table. And again, Rav Shor, again, those who are familiar with Rav Shor's style of presentation, fire and brimstone, Rav Shor speaks about the need for a Jew to have complete confidence in our Torah to the exclusion of anything else. I don't need to look to the world to supply me with anything. Shabbos HaGadol, as Klal Yisrael will become a nation, as Klal Yisrael will come out of Mitzrayim, a world where everything that we did was dependent upon someone else telling me how I should act or how I should feel, Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim and became Gedolim. They became independent people. They became people that would not need the world to take care of us, because we're going to take care of ourselves. And I think that's very much a powerful feeling. We know that the Shabbos before any Yom Tov has within it all of the Oros, all of the Hashpah of the Yom Tov. And I think it's very fitting that we go into the Yom Tov of Pesach with this feeling of confidence that we get from Shabbos HaGadol. That we're gedolim. We're not somech al shulchano shel achirim. We're not dependent upon someone else to take care of us. That Klal Yisrael went from being a trampled, lowly nation, the 49th level of Tumah, to being picked up to the highest of levels. To being the chosen people. When we left Mitzrayim, it says that Paro chased after us. Paro found out that the Jews had fled. Ki barach, that we had fled. Look at the Balaturim says, Ki barach is gematria Amalek. Amalek was the one who told Paro that we were on the run. But it's very sad to think that after a year of Makos, after all these miracles, after all of this hope and all of this promise and all of the suffering of the Egyptians and all of the healing of the Jewish people, as the Navi says, it's sad to think that we still ran out of Mitzrayim. And again, I know there are other, maybe even Sukkim or Mamar Chazal to claim otherwise. Right, but the Pasuk says that Paro found out Ki Barach, that the Jews had fled, that we were running for our lives, we were scared. We didn't have the confidence yet. The Jewish people left Mitzrayim and Barach. We were running scared. We were frightened. But eventually Klal Yisrael would come to Kabbalah Satorah and Asher Bachar Banu. The Barach would become Bachar. Because Baruch would select us. Hashem would choose us as His people. That took place in the name of a place that has the same letters. Barach, which means to flee. Hashem was Bachar, Asher Bachar Banu. Where? At Har Chorev, Chesreish Beis. Har Chorev is another name for Har Sinai. So at Har Sinai we gained a certain confidence that Klal Yisrael doesn't need to run anymore. I was thinking maybe you could say that's a new shot and why we dafka lean by the Seder. Haseba means I'm not going anywhere so fast. I'm not in any rush. When I get into a comfortable position, I'm leaning. I don't have to run anymore. That Klal Yisrael gained a certain confidence as we matured coming out of Mitzrayim, Shabbos HaGadol, we were becoming Gedolim. We were no longer running scared from the world. That the Jews got into a comfortable position as if to say, you're not gonna chase us off of planet Earth. We have a right to exist. We're not going to allow you to convince us otherwise. And everything about that original leaving of Mitzrayim was with chipazon. But as the Tzadik Kohen of Lublin points out in the first piece in Sidkas HaTzadik, there's no halachos that afterwards the Karban Pesach has to be eaten with chipazon. The first time, when we left Mitzrayim, there was a sense of chipazon. But then Klal Yisrael learned how to slow down. Because as we came to Har Sinai and as we became Klal Yisrael, we gained a certain confidence in ourselves. Again, in Mitzrayim we were working on it. We were trying to get there. The Chizkuni says a very strong thing in Parshas Bo. Chizkuni says that the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to prepare the Karban Pesach was actually training us to have a certain confidence. The Chizkuni says everything about the Karban Pesach was to flaunt in the face of our oppressors that we're not afraid of you anymore. We're going to take your God, we're going to tie it to our bed. Okay. Then we're going to roast your God. Why roast? Why can't we cook it? Because when you roast something, the smell from the barbecue, right, spreads very far. So we want to make sure you know that we're roasting your God. And when are we going to do it? Bein Harbayim. We'll do it in the afternoon for all of you to see, says the Chizkuni. As the Egyptians are on their way home from a day in the office, they would see their gods roasting. They would smell the intense smell of their gods roasting. Right? And that was part of Klal Yisrael gaining, again, the courage and the confidence to believe in ourselves. To believe that I have a right to exist. One of the very courageous Jews of history, Reb Weizmantel, who fought tooth and nail to try to save Jews during the war. If you've never read his biography, it's very, very powerful. It's also very tragic to see some of the opposition of early Zionist leaders, Jews, who didn't want to necessarily help in the right way to save Jews from Europe. But he did whatever he could to save Jews throughout the war. So there's a very skinny sefer that we have from him called Lechem Chamudos. And in the Lechem Chamudos, on page 121, he has a very interesting pshat in Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And it's very true to his life's experience. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, you can learn Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, of course, that Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. But you could also learn that a Jew has to develop a sense of confidence that Talmud Torah, that when I learn Torah, I'm Keneged Kulam. I can take on the world. Keneged Kulam. I can oppose anyone. When we got to Har Sinai, when we got to Chorev, when the Barach, when the running became Chorev and Bachar, the selection of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people said, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Befarhesia, I can learn Torah. You'll think it's strange that I'm learning Torah, or maybe living Torah. You'll think it's strange that I'm mumbling to my coffee on the train before I take a sip. But I'm not ashamed, I'm not embarrassed. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. You think it's strange, right, that I'm standing outside a public, rest stop outside of a bathroom, talking to a wall, right?
Saying Asher Yatzar, grabbing mincha
as the sun is starting to set. Yeah.
But Talmud Torah keneged kulam. If I'm a Torahic person, then keneged kulam, then I'm not afraid of anything. I can oppose anything. I can take on the world.
And again, that's the confidence that Klal Yisrael got through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Through that process of becoming a Kadosh Baruch Hu's people.
Shabbos HaGadol. Be a Gadol.
Don't be somit al shulchan acher. Don't let the world define you and tell you how you're supposed to feel or what rights you have as a human being. Right? The Jewish people have been beaten and oppressed throughout the generations. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I choose you. You don't have to run. Haseba. Get comfortable at the Seder. Bring out all of the finest dishes. A minhag even to borrow, you know, kelim, mikelim shown him from the non-Jewish neighbors. To show that what? To show that your things are on my table. Right? That I'm not somech on your table, you're somech on my table. That we have a sense of confidence. I'll just end. Again, we'll have time for much more, Amir Tzashem. But I once heard from Rav Shai Shechter a beautiful comment from Rav Shimshon Paul Hirsch. Rav Hirsch explains, why is it, and again, it's very fitting that as we enter into the Chumash Vayikra, say for Torah's Kohanim, as we enter into the world of Karbanos, we enter into the world of Avoda, what it means to work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take that Avdus of Mitzrayim and turn it into an Avdus for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says it's very interesting, or first says it's very interesting, and it seems almost cruel, that you can't bring a Baal Mum as a Karban. You can't bring a Karban that's blemished. That's unrealistic. We discriminate against an animal that has a handicap. Everyone has, if you get to know everyone has their handicaps. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's emotional. A Kohen can't have a mum. Now, this poor Kohen was born, again, with some type of physical defect, and now he's what? Now he's not, he can't serve God? You gotta wonder how someone like Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch was striking a very delicate balance between being a person of the world and also defending Torah values and Torah principles. How will someone like Rav Hirsch respond to such a claim against the Torah? How cruel. We should sue a Kadosh Baruch Hu for discrimination against people of Bali Mum, you know, Bali Mumin, against animals that have defects or handicaps. So Rav Hirsch says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be. And again, it takes sensitivity and maturity to understand this idea. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be that I have to present, at least in the Beis HaMikdash, at least in the Makom Avoda, at least that Shevet, which is most outstanding in the service of Hashem, Shevet Levi. Of course every Jew serves Hashem. But by Shevet Levi, by the Kohanim, by those who are working in the Mishkan, by the offerings that are being given to me, I want them to be as good as can be. You know why? Because the world has a tendency to say, look at those Jews, they're a bunch of schleppers. Look at those Jews. Look at all the handicaps they have. Right? Maybe being born a Jew is a handicap. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say to the world, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say that, look, no, we have excellence by us. We set the bar very high by us. Right? Again, it seems painful to the person who unfortunately is not able to serve, or to the karbon that's not able to be offered on the Mizbeach. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to show the world, Malchus is found by Klal Yisrael. We're not a bunch of schleppers. We're not going to be bullied by the world. We're people who strive for excellence. We're people who demand a certain degree of perfection in the service of Hashem. And again, certainly outside the Beis HaMikdash, everyone is welcome to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe, had a terrible limp. So what, he couldn't have been the Kohen Gadol? He would have been puzzled for Avoda. An unbelievable tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, a Gadol Hador in his time. Right? But yet, there's still a message the Torah is trying to convey, that we're not a bunch of broken people. And we're not gonna come to you for you to provide us with services, because we're Gedolim. That's what Shabbos HaGadol is about, that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. That's the transformation of, again, the Ki Barach, of running scared, with all of the sveikos in our heart, which allowed a Malik to come, Ki Barach, again, Baal Turim says, Gematria Malik, to come to a Paro, and say, go get these Jews. Right? They're handicapped, they can't run very fast. And yet, Klal Yisrael gained that courage to understand Talmud Torah connected Kulam, that with Torah, a Jew can take on the entire world.
Shkayach, Mishnah, Shkayach, Weinberg. It's a tremendous opportunity that we have to delve into the Haggadah a week before Pesach, to not just jump into the night, a very special night that it is, Kelel Eskadish Chag of Tzadok writes that this night, Kelel Eskadish Chag, is the Lael that's Eskadish Chag. Since when do we call Pesach Chag? Chag usually is the other Yom Tovim. Chag is usually Sukkis. Says Rav Tzadok, Kelel Eskadish Chag, all the other Yom Tovim, all the other Moedim come and are and emanate their Kedusha out of what you do with tonight. Tonight is an opportunity. Tonight is Leil Shimurim. Tonight is a night that you can gain and you can be, you can internalize these oros that you have. Like Rabbi Schnall said beautifully, the night that really has so much light. Like the Vilna Gaon says, Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. Exactly what Rabbi Schnall said, Halayla Hazeh. The kid is asking, it's not Halayla Hazeh. That's not the way you speak Hebrew. It's Halayla Hazos. So why are you calling it Halayla Hazeh? Why are you involved in all these mitzvahs? Why are we going against all the rules that every single other yontif, the mitzvahs, are during the day? Why are you calling the Layla Hazeh? It should be Halayla Hazos. Why are all the women involved in these time-bound mitzvahs? What is happening to Halacha? So the answer is exactly what Rabbi Schnall says. Tonight is not a night. Night and day by Yiddishkeit is not based on the darkness or based on the light. It's based on your response to the Avira. It's based on your response to the mitzvahs, your response to the reservoir that's now overflowing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying in Isarusa de Le'ela, the Isarusa de Le'ela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wakes up and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours Gishmei Bracha on this night. You don't have to deserve it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you. It's such an opportunity. So that's our light, and that's the light for the rest of the year. You know, I was thinking, based on what Rabbi Schnall was saying, that tonight is really a day, and like the Gra says, Halayla Hazeh, that it's a masculine, because it's really, says the Gra, it's really kiyom. Yom is lashon zachar. Halayla kiyom yoyer. So therefore, the child is saying manishtana halayla, not zos, but manishtana halayla, the night that we're treating it like a yom, and therefore it's a zeh. You know, I tried to focus a little bit when we were preparing, a little bit on the hemshech of the Agada. That the Haggadah of Magid starts with the Maisa, with all the Tzaddikim, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azayir, and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfin. And they were learning, and they were darshaning, and they were Mesaper, and Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kolos, Alayla, that whole night. Ad Shebol, Talmidim, Vamrulam, Rabbo Seinu, Higia Zman, Kriyash, Mashal Shachas. Until their Talmidim came in, and Rabbi said, if this would happen to me, I'd be a little embarrassed. You come in and say, Rabbi, it's a very nice shir you have, but you got to say Kriyat Shema first. Come on. Now, I'll show you in the Mishnah Berurah. What? Didn't you check my Zmanim this morning? What's going on? So what's the chat? So they just didn't realize? They were sitting in a cellar? That was one shot. They were hiding. The Romans were there. They were hiding. They were going to Rabbi Akiva. It was a difficult time period. I think we spoke about this a little bit last year. That's why they approached Rabbi Akiva, who had a positive perspective. And Rabbi Akiva, who was able to see the Mokom HaMikdash and always look at what the future is bringing, and therefore not get lost in the tragedies and the disasters of what's going on right around them. So they were in the cellar. So that's one shot. But I was thinking, based on this idea of the Gra, sometimes you could have such a holy night. You could have a night that's not even a Laila, that's not even Nekeva, that mamish, I can't even realize that it's a night, that it's a yom. It's in my house. I don't even know that it's dark outside. There is so much awe in my life right now because I'm connecting myself to the Eibishter, to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I'm not checking this. I thought I davened Shachris already. I thought it's been Shachris for a while. And the Talmidim, who are not on that level, who are not going through that experience the whole night, they come in and they knock the door. They're the Vekers. They're waking them up. They say, we got to daven Shachris. Because they were in a different reality. They were at the time of night, but it was really a yom. They were in a matzav of Halayla Hazeh. And that's exactly what's going on in the beginning, the first story of Haggadah. Here we're not bound by time. In Yiddishkeit, we're not bound by time. There's night, there's day. You go to the Beis HaMikdash, the day begins and the night follows, opposite of what the regular halacha is. When you get into a world of Kedusha, you can see light even in the darkest of times. And that's the way we start our Magid. That's the way we start Haggadah. So I'd like to start with that approach. Rabbi Isai, You have a tremendous opportunity tonight, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, to take advantage of this matana from HaKadosh Baruch. The biggest matana that you could get is to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the night of Leila Seder. The Radomsker writes an unbelievable idea. It says, if you look in the Perek Arvi Psochin, the Mishnayos speak about the Seder Hadvarim that they used to bring the Kosos and they used to pour and there used to be all different sections. So the Mishnayos speak of the following. Heviu lefonov umozgin lo. So I always understood it to mean they bring the Kos or the Ka'ara lefonov in front of the Baal HaBayis umozgin lo and then they pour for him. But the Radomsker points out that no, there's a switch on the object over here is referred to originally as lefonov, and then it speaks to the Baal HaBayis as lo. Says the Radomsker, that's exactly what Leila Seder is. Lo is to the Baal HaBayis. You pour for the Baal HaBayis for him. That's what lo means. Mos heviu lefonov means HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechvodu ba'atzmo is sitting at each and every one of our star. That's what heviu lefonov means. In front of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. As we say in Leila Seder. V'nomar lefonov shir chadash. And we should say in front of him, in front of the Eibishter. That same Eibishter that I'm just heviu lefonov, that I'm bringing his stuff. But Rabbi Isai, it's harsh. It sounds Hasidish. It sounds something that's not halachic. It sounds something that we can't always connect to. What is this? The Rebbeinu Shalom is really sitting at our starim. How could that be? You know, the Yismach Moshe says that the Rasha is not talking about a gangster. The Leila Seder. The Rasha is not a person that we're handcuffing him into the chair and keeping him from running outside to be Mechal Yontif and doing other things. The Rasha is the person who doesn't believe in this principle. The Rasha is the person at the Seder that says, come on, Leila Skadish Chag, this is a special night. What's different between this night? It's dark outside. What's the difference? This is a day. There is opportunities tonight. There is no difference between these nights. Says the Yismach Moshe, that is rishus. Taking this unbelievable opportunity, this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, this unbelievable meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nomar lefonov, v'hiviu lefonov, he's here. And now to look at the Rabbeinu Shalom straight in the face and say, he's not here? That is a rasha. That's what the Panim Yafa says, the Hafla says, the unbelievable thing. He says, we respond to the Rasha, he says, Kofar Be'ikr. Where was he, Kofar Be'ikr? He asked some kashas about the Korban Pesach. He asked, what are you doing right now? Ma avoida zos lachem? Kfira? I didn't see any kfira. Kfira, I'll tell you, you go against the Yud Gimel Ikarim, that's kfira. No, but that's the answer. When a person is ochre Korban Pesach, when a person doesn't realize the opportunities of what this night has, when a person doesn't say that this night is what's going to make it capable for me to be mekusher and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rest of the year, if a person doesn't approach this night as a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a shtick kfira. That is part of our kfira. Kofar be'ikr. This guy was kofar be'ikr. But Rabbi Isai, I'm going to give you a halacha that Tosfos brings up, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that proves this idea. And this spoke to me. Because it's nice to hear a nice board, it's nice to hear, but when it's already brought in Shulchan Aruch, that's something, well, I got to take this, this is another level. This is already rooted in the halacha. The halacha is that if you're sitting at my table, if you're sitting as a guest, and I'm schmoozing too much, I'm taking too long, so, you guys are stuck. I'm sorry. You gotta wait till I say, let's bench. And if one of you guys want to bench, you're my guest. I call the shots. But once the Baal HaBayis says, Havlon Nivorech, once the Baal HaBayis, which was what the Gemara calls Rebbe Sai Nivorech, that we should bench, Then that changes everything. Even if we decide, and I forgot it, I didn't realize that, and now I decided, well, you know, some people are still hungry. You know what? Let's continue eating. Then the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, you have to make a bracha rishona, you had a hesach hadas, you have to make a new bracha. Comes along Tosis and brachas and says, what happens in the following situation? And this happens often because we're having so much wine, we don't even know what's flying sometimes in Leila Seder. We say, Rabosai Nevarech. And we just realized, we didn't eat the afikomen. We didn't eat the matzah that, according to many Rishonim, is the key matzah for Leil HaSeder. That's the mitzvah's matzah. Says Tosos, even if the balabais, the leader of the household, was the one who said, Rabosai Nevarech, you don't have to make a new bracha. Continue eating. Says Tosos, because tonight, you're not the balabais. Tonight, there's someone else who's sitting there, who's calling the shots, who's making up all the rules. Itcha derachmona, says Tosfos. The Eibishter is sitting right there, and he's leading the Seder. And he says, the meal ends after the Afikomen. I call the shots. I made the menu tonight, says the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And he's sitting there as the Balabais. And Hilchos Brachos change because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is at your Leil HaSeder. Maral Miprag says the reason why we sit and we wear a kittel is because we're sitting at that same place on Yom Kippur, Lifnai V'Lifnim, in front of HaKadosh Baruch. So Rabbeisai, let's take advantage of this opportunity. Let's make sure that we're not going to abuse this opportunity. Let's internalize what Rav Tzadok HaKohen is saying. That this will change my year. This will change all of my experience. This will change my whole kesher with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Why do we mention Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim when we're talking about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? We've discussed many times, these mitzvahs are not the same. Reb Chaim Brisker says they're totally different dimensions to this mitzvah. One needs She'ela V'tshuva, one needs just mentioning. One needs props, one doesn't need props. One is called Amar B'Lasapir, Harezim Meshubach. When it comes to Schir, it doesn't. So why are we mixing concepts over here? You want to know why? If you look carefully at Rashi El HaTaira, Rashi tells us that the Zchiras Yetzias Mitzrayim emanates out of a real Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The only way you could really be connected on a daily basis with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if you took advantage of that night, if you met with the Eibishter that night. So let's make sure that this night is going to be unparalleled. Let's make sure that we go through this night and this night is going to shine like the daytime. We're not even going to know when Kriya Shema is going to be. We're not even going to know whether it's dark or light outside. And we're going to take advantage of the night. And there are going to be people. They're going to say, come on, what are you, Hasidish? What are you, what are you, a person that's now, what, you totally change your personality? No, tonight we're all Hasidish. 100%, we all Hasidish. That's what the night is all about. The night is about connecting. Connecting what's in the Moyach to the Leif. Connecting and internalizing these concepts. And there will be those that tell you, the Rosh is going to tell you and he's going to say, so, you'll have a nice night. You'll go through the Leil HaSkadish Chag. You'll have a beautiful experience. But then how's it going to affect? You're going to go back on Wednesday night. What's going to be different? Well, Thursday night, you're going to go back to your old reality. You're going to go back to the old same ways. So why even try? Why even fake it on this Leil HaShimurim and transform yourself when it's not going to be lasting? So I was thinking, you know what the answer to that Russia, to that person who tells you don't take advantage, that the kfira is in the kfira of the night? The answer is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara tells us, we know we speak a lot about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the Haggadah speaks about the fact that he just became the Nasi, and it was a big problem. The Gemara in Brachos tells us in Daf Chav Ches that he didn't look the part. He didn't have the big beard and the white beard. And it was going to be a problem, and there was a nace, and we speak about this whole Gemara in the middle of the Haggadah. It's a little strange, like I pointed out. Okay, the Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim aspect makes sense, but why are you going through all the different aspects of his promotion? Of the fact that he became the Nasi, the fact that he now had this unbelievable opportunity. So I was thinking, perhaps one could suggest that's exactly the answer to this Yismach Moshe's Russia. The Russia says to you, this is not going to last. You're going to come back to yeshiva right after Pesach. You're going to be that same kid. You're gonna be that same. You're gonna have that same. You're not gonna be. You're not gonna put on this mahalach that you're internalizing these things. It's not gonna transform you. So Rabbi say, if you look carefully in the Gemara and Brachos, that's exactly what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a conversation with his wife after Rabbi Gamliel was taken away from office, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was offered the opportunity to be Nasi. He asked his Rebbetzin, what do you think about this idea? Do you think that I should take the promotion? So she said to him, but you know what's going to happen? The same thing that happened to Rabbi Gamliel is going to happen to you. So what, you'll take the promotion? What's the point of winning the presidency if you're going to be assassinated or you're going to be impeached? That wasn't literal, that wasn't, no one should think. Rabbi Yisai, what's the point? Why would you even want to be Oyel L'Gedula? You're just going to go through the embarrassment afterwards. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah answered, it's worth it just for that one day, just for that one opportunity of being a Nasi for that little amount of time. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. Even if that happens, even if what's in stock for me is what happened to Rabbi Gamliel, I'd like to experience the Nasius just for that night, just for that second. Rabbi Yisai, I think the Baal HaGadol is telling us that's the response to the Rasha. That's the response to the person. There's not going to be a transformation. You're not going to change your lifestyle. You're not. It's a Leil Hiskadesh Chag. I have a Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah opportunity. I can be a Nasi for one night. I can meet the Rabbanu Shalom right now, and that can change my life, and I don't know what will be, but I'm still going to go for it. That's why we mention Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
Beautiful pshat. Beautiful pshat. When I shift the focus to the end of the Haggadah, the song, or piyut, whatever you want to call it, of Echor Miyodea, seems very incongruent, especially because it's the last step, just about, before we go to sleep for the night. Or will we? We'll see. But it's kind of ironic, because we're delving into the intricacies and the details and the sophistication of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and sophistication of the halachas of the achila, and then when it's all over, the way we wrap it up and bring it home is with a kid song. It's like we're going back to kindergarten. What's going on over here? Echor Miyodei, you need to review your numbers. You need to remember how many avos there were, how many mos there were, how many books of the Torah. It really doesn't fit as the last say. Maybe we should put that with the Banishtana. Maybe, you know, when the kids are awake, when the kids are, we need to keep them interested, keep them engaged. So it would make a lot more sense to integrate that into an earlier part of the Haggadah to get us going. But to end the night on that theme just sounds like we're taking so many steps backwards from everything we did up until this point to take so many steps forward. So you have to be mocho. Going to return to the Halayl Hazed Matnashtana once more, but not the emphasis on the Halayla so much, because even more than the peculiar reference to Halayla Hazed, Shirvin Zos, the Rebelzan mentioned, if you count how many times we repeat things in the story, in the song Matnashtana, it's very strange. Right? You look at the text. Right? So Halayla Hazed, For each sentence, is just one time, right? But in the tune, the Menhagim Klal Yisrael, you can't take it lightly. Especially when you come to a tune which... Did you ever meet someone who has a different Negan from Amishan? Never, right? I understand, okay, L'chadori like this, you know, Baruch Kel Elyon like that, but everyone, Mahamish, all Klal Yisrael sing the same Amishan, right? So nothing's by accident. And the Halayla Zeh, which the Baal HaGadol put there just one time, is... It's four times four questions, right? Shabbachol leilos anuachem chametu matza, halayla hazeh kulo matza, but each time it's halayla hazeh kulo matza, and then you do it again, and then you go on tomorrow, and haseba, and right. So what's going on? 16 times halayla hazeh, even more just arousing than manishtana halayla, but why halayla hazeh? So. Could be, just to at least to lay the groundwork. So Rav Kluger explains that there's a very important hazeh that cannot be ignored in the night of the Seder. We'll try to develop the Shema. Where do we find hazeh throughout the Torah and Chazal highlighted as something very significant. Hazeh seems like, just sort of, you can't take a sentence without prepositions, right? The preposition? I don't know, make that up. Maybe it's a direct object. Who knows? It's been a long time since 9th grammar, okay? But it's one of those words, like if you leave out the or that, the sentence is not going to make sense, right? But Hazeh is sometimes emphasized with great significance. A few examples. First example is Shas Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu gets Moshe and Aaron together, and he teaches them how to be Mekadosh Levana. And he says the way that Klal Yisrael is going to declare Rosh Chodesh is Kazeh Re'eva Kadesh. This moon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his finger as a work of Yachal and said, this moon, when it looks like that, then you're going to be able to declare the new moon. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron needed a very clear and direct illustration of what they're talking about. Go a little bit further in Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Vayamsuf, Zeh Keil Vanveu. Zog the Gemara that Klal Yisrael, Keilu, were able to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The nevuah of even the Shivcha Al Yam was greater than the nevuah of Yechezkel. It was such an apparent and evident and clear image, whatever that means, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they could point with a finger. Hazeh is exactly in detail right in front of our faces. Find again by the Benorah. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words were not enough, so to speak, to convey to Moshe Rabbeinu the intricacies of the design of the menorah. That Moshe Rabbeinu had to be shown once more Zeh Maaseh HaMenorah. And Zeh Yidnu, when it came to the shekel also. Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out a fiery shekel from beneath the Kisei HaKavod and said to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what it looks like. Again and again throughout Chazal, throughout the Torah, Zeh is used to tell us, to show us, when telling alone is not enough, to be able to have a clear and present picture right in front of our faces. Kluger says, in the same way, that Hazeh is used in those contexts, Halayla Hazeh, this is the night of Zeh. This is the night where everything becomes clear. This is the night where we're not anymore bound or our vision is clouded by illusions, but we're able to cut to the core of what's in front of us, to know the reality, and to see what we're dealing with. And Adrav, it comes back to what Rabbi Belazan was just talking about, on the night that's no longer a night, when things should have been hidden, should have been dark, and should have been clouded, It becomes or. It becomes yom, where the zeh, now of the person, no longer the shekel, or the levana, or whatever it happens to be, but now the person, halayla zeh, this is a night where a person puts on his real stuff. Where we're able to push away all of the darkness that clouds a true picture of what the person is, and see right at the core of who he is. Halayla zeh. That's what we keep saying again and again and again. Because as we introduce the Haggadah, we need to set forth what our goal is to get to the heart of the Yid sitting at the Seder table. And Chora, the way to do that is not by looking at the beginning of the Seder, but looking at the end of the Seder. When it's all finished. When the Haggadah starts to wind down, so we'd expect to have that vision of Zeh, of precisely who the person is. And could be, it's one reason why, we point that in Shir. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to stay up all night on Shavuos to learn Torah. Came much later. It's brought from the Arizal. It doesn't say that anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. The practice of staying up all night in the Seder, Gemara says you should be osik in Hilchos Pesach ad shetech tefenesh shina, until you're just overcome with sleep. Which sounds like if you can pull it off, you can have coffee. It's a shayla after the afikoman. Maybe that's why we assume you're going to fall asleep because you can't have your coffee break. Not sure. Maybe it's a wine or bells I mentioned. But you got to push it. It goes back to a Tosefta, thousands of years ago, long before there was a practice of staying up all night in Shavuos. There was a practice of staying up on Pesach. Why? Because when a mensch goes through a Seder, the Laila Hazeh, the night of this is who you are, is revealed. And the only thing that he wants to do when the Seder is over is push some more. And go weiter, and go weiter, and go weiter. And even if it's not realistic for every one of us to push the whole night, it certainly means they don't rush through the end of the Seder, the Echem Yodeh and the Chagadia, so you can go to sleep and wake up at 10 the next morning. But L'chol Apachos, we'll say, is a person's initial reaction at the end of the Seder, let me get up and tell my mother she can go to sleep so I can clean up. It's not like she was up the night before preparing the Seder. She probably was, and you were sleeping. Halayla Hazeh, reveal who you really are, and let one act of Kedusha naturally move on to the next act of Kedusha, because you've exposed that that's really what's sitting at the core of your essence, as the Seder night has brought out for everyone to see. Laila Hazeh. So, to bring it home, that I think is what we're trying to say by ending the Seder with Ech Miyodea. I heard once from Rabbi Benovitz, Shlita, an explanation which I think helps us understand what we're talking about over here. He was addressing a different question. He asked, why is it that we make such a big deal of the Simonim on Rosh Hashanah? You have a fruit which sort of sounds like a word which maybe indicates a little remez to a bracha, and all of a sudden, that's what we sing a song about in kindergarten, dip the apple in the honey, right? Not only that, Rabbi Yitzchak Sender points out that if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the first simon on Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, it's not about the shofar, it's not about Yom HaDin, it's not about the tefillah, it's not about the laning, it's about the simonim you eat on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Sounds a little bit strange. Sounds like, okay, it's an important thing, maybe it's a minhag l'Yisrael, it's a gemara, but well, that should be the first thing in Shulchan Aruch on Rosh Hashanah. So, the way Rabbi Benovitz explained it, those who know Rabbi Benovitz is a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And he gives a mashal, if your daughter comes home from Arts and Crafts in kindergarten, and she makes a salt and pepper shaker. So what do you put on top of the salt and pepper shaker? An S and a P. So he said, when my daughter brings home an S and a P, I say, oh, Pittsburgh Steelers, Gevaldik. Oh, okay. What's the vort? The vort is, because if you're so mushrush, if you're so ensconced in a specific mindset, or you make an association with something that you love, like football, whatever it happens to be, then anything you see that remotely references or connects in some way, you're going to jump on and say, oh, Steelers. So the goal of Rosh Hashanah is at the end of Elul, we should be holding by a place where we're so connecting with the notion of entering the year on the right foot, with the right tefillos, and the right bakashas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when you bring the apple and the honey to the table, the only thing I'm thinking of is, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bench this year as a Shana Tova Masukah, and we need you to give us a positive din to come out with that result. So Hu HaDin, he doesn't quote Rabbi Benovitz, but Rav Avraham Shor says the same thing by the HaKadosh. He says, at the end of the night, you're not going back to kindergarten. Adarava. When we've exposed the Laila Hazeh, who you really are. So when I say five books of the Torah. I say six, Mishnayos. That's it. 7 days of the week leading up to Shabbos. Again and again and again, where any other day of the week, you mention a number, I'm thinking about the stock market. You mention another number, I'm thinking about the box scores from the game last night. At the end of the Seder, I've connected so strongly, and I've exposed that connection that's already there within inside me, to the basics of Yiddishkeit, which is that's what it's about. It's not about the fancy words. It's about Emunah and Mesorah and going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yitzias Mitzrayim, that there's nothing else that I can possibly react with other than Echad Miyodea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, Shnei Luchos HaBris, Inviter. Shubi Zocha, tapping into what Rabbi Belzon mentioned, to start the Laila Hazeh with the goal of ending off where everything about the world around us immediately conjures up our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ultimately, that's the goal that the sage is supposed to bring out.
Shkaya.
We're lucky, no? This is pretty good. How was your vart of Elizabeth Nazareth? Okay, today's the 9th of Nisan, if I'm not mistaken. Glicksman, any yard sites today? So I think there are 2 yard sites today that I know of, that I checked already. Today is the yard site, I was excited to see, today is the yard site of Imre Chaim from Visionitz. So I can't talk about, and I know I usually try not to repeat too many things from one year to the next, but this is one that I repeat all the time. And it goes back to what Belzon was saying, that this is the night that sets the tone for the entire year. When the Imre Chaim, when the Vizhis Rebbe, who came to Eretz Yisrael after the war, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he said to his Hasidim, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, they really get it here. So they asked the Rebbe, they said, what do you love about the Jews of Eretz Yisrael? He said, yes, even the irreligious Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they get it. They totally get it. Even more so than many of my Hasidim. They're very insulted. They said, what is it about the Jews of Eretz Yisrael that you love so much? So Reb Chaim Meir of Visionitz said, because if you stop a Jew on the street and you ask him, nu, what's doing? Manishma. Invariably the response is going to be, Hakol B'Seder. Hakol B'Seder. So the Vizhen Rebbe said, you see, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they really know. They understand that HaKol B'Seder, that everything depends on the Seder. And like Rasadik explained, like Belzan explained, Leil is Kaddish Chag, this is the night that sets the tone for all of the Chagim. It sets the tone for the entire year. That's why Pesach is referred to in the Torah as Shabbos, Mimachras HaShabbos. Pesach is called Shabbos because Shabbos sets the tone for the entire week. And Shabbos sets the tone for all of the Yom Tovim. That's why when the Torah introduces the Yom Tovim, very often it will start by introducing Shabbos. Chofetz Chaim has a cheshbon, he says Shabbos appears 12 times in the Torah. Why do I have to mention Shabbos every time I introduce the Regalim? The answer is because Shabbos is the foundation of all of the Yom Tovim. Pesach, Nisan, is the foundation of the whole year. So therefore, on the yard side of the tzaddik, the Ibrahim Chaim, Chaim Meyer, remember this idea, HaKol B'Seder, that everything depends on the Seder. And what happens at the Seder has a hashpa to the entire year. So I want to just point out, Lefirai Belazan, Lashitaso, if you're Chassidish by the Seder, that means you become Chassidish the whole year. just putting that out there. Lefirai Belazan. Okay. Just putting that out. Good. Today is also the art side. Today is also the art side of Arya Levine, the Tzaddik from Yerushalayim. And I want to share a teaching that others have as well, but it is found in his writings. It's brought in his biography. We know that we refer to a young boy who reaches the age of mitzvahs as a bar mitzvah, and we refer to a person who does averos not as a bar avera, but a baal avera. A bar means a son. A baal means a spouse, a husband. So Rav Arya Levine's Kedarko B'Kodesh, again, with his love of Klal Yisrael, said, why do we refer to someone who does mitzvahs as a bar mitzvah? And why do we refer to someone who does averos as a baal avera? And he said a very beautiful var. He said, because a son, the relationship of a parent to a child, is inseparable. A parent cannot like the child cannot like the parent, but they can't get divorced. Because deep down inside, every parent loves their child, and every child loves their parent, even in the most stressful times. A husband and wife, that relationship can be separate. So when it comes to our relationship with mitzvahs, every Jew is a bar mitzvah. A bar mitzvah means I'm a child by the mitzvahs. My relationship with Torah is absolute. My relationship with averos, sometimes I get involved. Sometimes I even think I fall in love with averos, but I'm just a baal avera. I can divorce myself from averos. The relationship is not an absolute one. And I want to use this teaching of the tzaddik on the day of his yahrzeit to think about that in the context of the Seder. Because like we were saying before, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were very scared. They weren't the Klal Yisrael that they were supposed to be. They hadn't emerged as Klal Yisrael. They weren't sure what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really thought of them. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected them on the 49th level of Tumah, like our Mishnah so beautifully described, when Hashem hired us, so to speak, when we were on our lowest level, that clarified that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us like a parent loves a child. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. A relationship that can never be severed. On Pesach, a Jew comes to recognize who he is be'etzem. Chai of Adam Liros as Atzmo. Pause right there. You don't even have to finish the Maimar Chazal. Chai of Adam Liros as Atzmo. Part of the avodah of Pesach is Liros as Atzmo, to get to know the essential self. Not the Jew who does the averos. That's a baal avera. But Chai of Adam Liros as Atzmo, to find out who I really am. Find out who I am be'etzem. And those days when I wake up and I'm feeling like not sure, I'm not convinced, the Rav Shitzer says, the Zera Kodesh says, Tchila l'mikroi kodesh zeichel yisias Mitzrayim. If you're not sure if you're holy, if you're not sure if you're still desired, if you're not sure if you have potential, Tchila l'mikroi kodesh, the first step to identifying yourself as holy, zeichel yisias Mitzrayim. The Jews in Mitzrayim were not at such a great level when Hashem chose them, when Hashem drafted them, when Hashem hired them. Chila mikroi kodesh. You wake up in the morning and you say, I don't know, Mike, am I a shtik kedusha? Am I a bit of holiness? Do I have anything holy to offer the world? Says the Chila mikroi kodesh, the first step to understanding kedusha. Zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. Think back to what it was like in Mitzrayim. They were not such a high level. They're actually on a very, very low level. We come to the end of the Seder when we recite Shir HaShirim. It's very important, as best we can, to try to say Shir HaShirim at the end of the Seder. In Shir HaShirim, there's a pasuk in Parak Zion, it's pasuk Vav. And I want to share with you an insight that I saw from the Lublina Rav, the founder of the Daf Yomi, Rav Meir Shapiro, in the Haggadah or HaMeir, on
page 182.
Pasuk says, Roshech alayach karmel. Your head is upon you like
Carmel, like Har Carmel.
Vidalas Roshech ka'argaman. And the locks of your head, right, your wavy hair, is ka'argaman. The heights of mountains and the wave of your hair is like argaman. What does that mean? So he says, Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, are supposed to be at the heights of the world. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be, so to speak, the mountains of the world. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be elevated above all of the nations. But sometimes, he says, as we all know throughout Gullus, throughout history, Klal Yisrael is trampled. So therefore, we say to such a person, listen to what he says, Roshech alayach karmel, you should really be the head, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chadashim, you should really be on top of the world. However, sometimes what? Dalas Roshech. Literally, again, the locks of your hair. But Dal means what? Poor or weak. Dalas Roshech. But even when you're Dal, even when you're down and out, even when the world has convinced you that you're not so great, Dalas Roshech. Kisher Roshech Dal v'shafel. Umuchan kvar atalis yayish v'nei chamas hamatzik redifos hanogis. When you feel that you've been crushed and trampled and abused and you want to give up hope, what does the pasuk say? Dalas Roshech ka'argaman. Says the founder of the Daf Yomi, says Rav Meir Shapiro, Tichetzad v'kadosh l'vracha, the Gemara says in Bava Metziach of Aleph Amud Beis, that argaman is so valuable, da'afilo imhumutal ba'ashba ein bo yeyesh ba'al, that if you find argaman, if you find that precious royal color lying in a garbage dump, there's no yesh. We assume that the owner hasn't given up hope because it's so valuable. And therefore, we're mechazik a Jew, even at the end of the Seder, he still doesn't believe it. After everything you heard today from Rav Shlomo Rebellion, you still don't believe it. You're still not sure. You say Shir HaShirim, you think of this Zvark from Meir Shapiro, that Roshech Alayach Karmel is supposed to be on top of the world. But even if Dalas Roshech, even if you're in the garbage dump, Ka'argaman, remind yourself, you're Ka'argaman. You're like that precious material that's going to maintain its value even in a garbage dump. We say at the beginning, Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol, Kol Ditzrich Yeseh V'Yifsah. Call anyone who's hungry, come get something to eat. Anyone who needs, come have Pesach with us. So I want to say, Chassidus Shavart. The word kol is a very significant word. If you look in the writings of the Rebbe of Melech, the Noam Elimelech and Parshas Devarim, or if you've ever learned Pirkei Avos, really the Mishnah and Masechet Sanhedrin, kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek olam haba. Kol Yisrael. What's this idea of kol Yisrael? Every Jew has a chelek olam haba? I mean, finish the Mishnah. Mishnah says not everyone does. So what's this idea? Kol Yisrael. Noam Elimelech writes in Parshas Devarim, he writes as follows. He says, Yesh Levar, at the beginning of Devarim, he says, Shenir mazbekan eitzel la'am Hashem, eich yisnagu lavo ala mitas avodas Hashem baruch. How can a Jew come to the truthfulness of the service of Hashem? Ki atam l'masha anu omrim kodim kol avodaseinu v'tfilaseinu l'shem yichud b'shem kol Yisrael. Why do many have a practice that before you do a mitzvah, right? Many Haggadahs have printed before performing a mitzvah. By Sfiras HaOmer, for some reason, many people say it, even if they don't usually say it. You say, L'shem Yichud B'shem Kol Yisrael. Yes, there were tzaddikim who were opposed to it, but there were many who were strongly in favor of it. B'shem Kol Yisrael. What's this idea, Kol Yisrael? Kol Yisrael Yisrael Chelek Lo'am Hab. V'akavona Heyos, She'ein Tzaddik Ba'aretz V'chu. Kohelis tells us that everyone makes mistakes. There's no tzaddik in the world who's involved in this world, who doesn't do averos. Yes, there's a short list in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Nun Hey, of people who didn't do averos, but they weren't in this world. The tzaddikim were involved in this world. That's the reality. Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta. V'im kein heich yachol lasas eze davar kedusha be'ivareinu. So if I know I do averos with my body sometimes, so now I come and what? I eat the matzah. Pasuk says you have to eat the Karman Pesach. You have to eat Pesach b'makom kadosh. If my mouth is not kadosh, my body's not kadosh, this is not a makom kadosh. I'm not a makom kadosh. So how do I do mitzvahs with my body? How do I put tefillin on my arm if I use my arm in a way that's unbecoming for a Jew? So he says the answer is that we attach ourselves to klalus Yisrael. We attach ourselves to kol Yisrael. What does that mean? Ki yesh olam hanikra kol Yisrael. There's a world beyond this world. There's a chamber, a heichal and shamayim called Kol Yisrael. Va'olam ahu shalim b'li shum pagam. And in that world, it's perfect. It's Kol Yisrael. Every Jew makes it there. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak olam haba. In that world called Kol Yisrael, every Jew has a chelak in olam haba. It's a place that's so pure and so pristine. It's the etzem of who you are. Chayav Adam Lira says atzmo. It's the essence of who you are. It's your neshama that can't get dirty. It's the part of you that you can't mess up. The Imre Emes is a biography, a Hebrew biography of the Imre Emes called Rosh Golas Ariel. In the first volume, the Imre Emes asked his father, the Sfas Emes, why do we wear a kittel? Why do we wear a kittel at the Seder? So Sfas Emes said to his son, I'll tell you. Because for Yontiv, a person goes to buy a new suit or a new kapata. You got yourself a nice new suit, and you don't want to get it dirty. So you wear almost like an apron on top of your suit. You wear a kittel. That's what Sfas Emes said to the Imre Emes. So the Imre Emes said, I knew my father was not making light on this. I knew my father was hinting to something very deep. And I took it very seriously, even though I wasn't sure exactly what he was saying. The Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes' son, the fourth Ger Rebbe, said, I'll tell you what I think the Sfas Emes was saying. He's saying that on this night, a person gets so many new things. Not just new clothing. Right? Just not just a new tie for Yontif. Or a new hat. Or a new kapata, like the Sfas Emes said. Right? But a person gets so many new oros, new hashvos from on high, that you need to make sure that they don't get dirty. You need to protect them. So you put the kittel on top to protect what's underneath. But I was thinking, it's very ironic that we wear a kittel to the Seder. Because the kittel, putting aside this idea from the Sfas Emes, the kittel is the most pure, pristine garment. There's no way the kittel is going to survive the Seder. Between the matzah crumbs, and the wine, and the spills, and leaning while you're drinking, right? With charoses dripping out of your, you know, out of your maror onto your kittel. Why would you wear the purest, cleanest, whitest garment to the Seder? It's for sure going to get ruined. V'afal pichin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wear the kittel to the Seder. And you're going to get very dirty on the outside. There's no way your kittel is going to be perfect on the outside. But on the inside, you're going to be pure. And that's the avodah of the Seder. Chayav Adam Lira says, atzmo, to realize that even if you're stained on the outside, but you're pure on the inside. Says the Noam Elimelech and Parshas Devarim, there's a world called Kol Yisrael. Kol ki yesh olam hanikra Kol Yisrael. And in that world, there's no pagam. So when we say, what? B'shem Kol Yisrael. I'm doing this mitzvah, B'shem Kol Yisrael. I'm tapping into that part of myself. I'm tapping into that part of Klal Yisrael. V'amich kulam tzadikim, says the Noam Elimelech. I'm touching that part of myself that is forever perfect. That's what we're trying to experience at the Seder. So we begin by saying, kol dichvin, yesei v'yechol, kol ditzrich, yesei v'yechol. If you're kol, what's kol? Kol is this world. Kol is the party that's perfect. But if your kol is hungry, if your kol is not strong, if kol ditzrich, if you feel like kol, that even by me, I'm not even shy after that world, kol yisrael. So we say, come to the Seder. Be mechazik that Indian of kol yisrael. Be mechazik that idea that you are good, that Hashem does choose you on the 49th level of Tumah. If you feel that your kol is shaky, come to the Seder and you'll get chizik at the Seder. Who's the one who solidified our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram Avinu? The Torah writes in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Simitaf Yud Zayin, that Pesach corresponds to Avram. Shavuos corresponds to Yitzchak, Sukkot corresponds to Yaakov. Pesach is the Yom Tov Avram Avinu. In Pirkei Avos, sometimes he's called Avram, sometimes he's called Avram Avinu. Says the Ruach Chaim, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Pirkei Avos, he's called Avram Avinu because of the Yerusha that he left us, the way a parent leaves something for a child. The way that a bar mitzvah, again, the relationship between parent and child that can never be severed. Avram Avinu is the foundation of Amunah. Avram Avinu was the one who was willing to throw himself into a fiery furnace for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, every Jew got a Yerusha. What's the Yerusha that we got from Avram Avinu? That spark inside of yourself, the pintaliyah. The part that when the kittel is completely dirty, there's still a world called Kol Yisrael. There's a part of you that can't get dirty, that can't be ruined. The mitzvah worked so hard to convince us that we were ruined. There's a beautiful vart from the Rav. Rav Soloveitchik said, why do we say avadim hayinu liparo b'mitzrayim? We don't say that we're avde paro. Avadim hayinu liparo. Says the Rav, because it's creating distance between us and paro. We're not avadim of paro be'etzem. We can't call ourselves avadim. Avadim hayinu, we were liparo b'mitzrayim. And Eved Hashem, that I can say about myself. On a avde de kuchabrichu, I can say about myself. But paro b'mitzrayim? Not an Eved be'etzem of paro. Avadim hayinu liparo b'mitzrayim. Vayoreyu osanu ha-mitzrim. Vayoreyu osanu ha-mitzrim. It doesn't just mean the Mitzrim did bad to us. If you read it properly, Vayareyu Asana Mitzrim is that the Mitzrim made us bad. They told us we're bad. The Rechaim says that, the Kliyakar says that, the Malam says that, the Abar Benel says that, the Nitziv says that in Parshas Kisavo. Everyone says the same thing. If you read it carefully, Vayareyu Asanu, they made us bad, and that's why Paras says, Havan is Chachmalo, let's deal with these Jews. They're bad. They labeled us as bad. They told us we were bad. They convinced us that we were bad. And therefore the Avodah of the Seder is to say, no, I'm not bad, I'm actually very good. The bad son, the Rasha, says the Sod Yesharim, says the Sefer Sod Yesharim, he says that Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, each of those phrases corresponds to one of the sons. Baruch HaMakom corresponds to the Chacham. Baruch Hu corresponds to the Rasha. What's the pshat Baruch Hu corresponds to the Rasha? You try reading Sod Yesharim and you tell me if you can figure it out. I can't figure it out. But Baruch Hu, to me, it reminds me of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Daled. Afal pi shechata, Yisrael Hu. Even if a Jew sins, he's still a Jew. He's still a Jew. Baruch Hu. That the Rasha could say about himself that I'm also a Jew. And that's the Yerusha of Avraham Avinu. That goes back to Avraham Avinu. Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham. The Chiddush Arim says that when we say Shmona Esrei, we say Magen Avraham, there's a part of ourself that's guarded that goes all the way back to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the Yom Tov of Pesach. Kol Ditzrich. Yesev Yifsach. If you feel that you're kol, if you're not sure if I have a kesher, to kol Yisrael 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 Yisrael. Am I part of B'Shem Kol Yisrael? Am I part of Amir Kulam Tzadikim? If your kol is wanting, if your kol is hungry, come to Pesach. It'll be fed. I'll just end with a remez. I'll end with a little remez that I thought of in preparing this year. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me in preparing this year. We say, Kol Hamarbe L'Saper, Hareza Meshubach. Kol Hamarbe L'Saper. Sometimes you got to just listen to what it says. Kol Hamarbe L'Saper, Hareza Meshubach. If you add on L'Saper, Hareza Meshubach. So add on to Saper. Kol Hamarbe L'Saper. Take the Gemara of the word Saper and be Marbe L'Saper. Right here, Kol HaMarba, anyone who adds on L'Saper, to the word Saper, Hareza Meshubach. Then he'll realize that he's very good. Then he'll realize that he's good. The Gemara of Saper is 340. So Marba L'Saper means 341. Kol HaMarba L'Saper, anyone who adds on to Saper, Hareza Meshubach, 341. What's 341? And those who are Osek in the Sfarim, it's a Chashuv number. 341 is Gemara of Magin Avra. Kol HaMarba L'Saper, if you add on to Saper, if you understand Magi and Avram, that you have an akuzah, that the shorish of Pesach is Avram Avinu, the one who was willing to sacrifice himself for Kadosh Baruch Hu at all costs, even when Kadosh Baruch Hu hadn't even spoken to him yet. Then kol amar l'saper, I raise him a shuba. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. We say to the Rasha, Afal pi shechata, Yisrael Hu. Kol Disrich Yesev Yisach. Come to Pesach. And you'll see that you also have a kesher to that world of B'Shem Kol Yisrael and that idea of Amir Kulam Tzadik.
Shkoyach. So I'm a Talmud here, and I'm enjoying myself hearing these beautiful Divrei Torahs and snatching them. I snatched Halayla Hazeh from Rabbi Schnall. Now I'm going to snatch a little from Rabbi Weinberg. Just mamish what I just thought of, an idea while he was talking and as I was enjoying myself listening to his Torah about the Avodah of Kol Yisrael. The Avodah of Kol Ditzrich Yesev Yifsach, that we start the Seder with the Kol, that every member of Am Yisrael is part of this greater unit. And if that's the case, I think that's, I would just turn, while he was talking, I turned to the Rosh Mal Omer. That's exactly the response that we have to the Rosh. It's not that you were Mechal Shabbos. It's not that what you did last week. It's not what you're looking at. It's not any Avera other than the following. You are Oker Kol Ditzrich Yetzev Yivsach. You are Holtzi Ema'atzmu Minaklal. That's your problem. And I remember that Svarno writes on the parish of the Rosh Shaila, that when he asked Ma Avodah Zos Lachem, the Rasha is bothered with this very concept. He says, what is this Korban Pesach? Make up your mind, Tati, Abba, Daddy. Which one is it? Is it a Korban Tzibor? Or is it a Korban Yachid? It's a very, very strange Korban, and he has a nice argument. You see, usually you have a korban like the Tumid. It represents Klal Yisrael as a whole. And sometimes we have specific situations that we have to ourselves bring a korban chatas, we mess up, and we bring our own personal korban. So ask the Rasha, Abba, we learned Hilchos Korbanos. Which one is it?
Is it the carbon yachid or is it the carbon tzibur? Make up your mind. The answer to the Rasha is that carbon Pesach, the first carbon of the Jewish people, is a combination of both. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that we're going to apply the halachos of tzibur when it comes to the carbon Pesach. Tuma tchuyehi b'tzibur. Sounds like it's a carbon tzibur. Sounds like it's following the regular rules of b'tzibur. But the Gemara asks, but it's not a carbon tzibur. How do we know that it's not a carbon tzibur? Because Rabosai, each and every one of you are going to have a carbon Pesach in your house. And in your bias, l'chol chaburo chaburo. And everyone's got to register personally to their korban. So which one is it? Is it a korban yachid? Or is it a korban tzibur? Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem, asked the Rasha. I'm not just stomp chucking it. You make no sense. You make these rules, and then you bring out the korban Pesach tonight, and it goes against, and it contradicts all the rules that you've developed and you've taught me. You know what the Gemara in Pesachim answers? Kevan sheba b'knufya kekarban tzibur damya. Since this carbon Pesach is brought as a collective entity, we're all on the same day doing the same thing. As many tzaddikim used to start their seder telling their children, what I'm saying tonight is what my grandfather said to me. And is what his grandfather said to me. And we're doing the exact same thing. And down the block, this Rav is doing it with his kid. And you're doing it with that kid. But it's not just an interesting fact that we're doing and happen to be going through the same process. It elevates exactly what Rav Moshe Tzvi was saying. It creates this concept of kol. We each and every one of us have our avodas hayachid, have our personal carbon pesachs, and we bring it at the same exact second, babi knufya, and we make this new carbon sipa. We all collect, each one of us, and we remember that each and every one of our avodos, when you add them up and you sum them all together, that creates the first carbon of Am Yisrael. That allows for a carbon tzibur. Rav Huttner writes in Pachad Yitzchok, in Pesach, that that's why we were able to have carbon tzibur after this. It was this transformation of each yochid v'yochid v'yochid, all doing the same thing at the same time, and babi knufya, and all registering together, that created the concept of a carbon tzibur. So you understand, Russia, you don't recognize this idea of kol dechvin, of registering of your avoda affecting the rest of Am Yisrael. Of the fact that when you learn Hilchos Tshuva, the fact that you and your procedure in Tshuva and you rectifying your mistakes can actually tip the scales of the world and affects the communal carbon of Am Yisrael. So that's the answer to the Russia. Ma avoda zos lachem. The Sforno asks, which one is it? Is it a carbon yaruch or is it carbon tzibur? The answer is, you can't understand this. Because we now are creating the concept of a carbon tzibur. We are registering together and coming together and now recreating the concept of a carbon tzibur. And I think that's really what the Noam Elimelech was saying. This idea of being a member of Kol. This idea of being able to say Kol D'Tzrich Yesev Yifso. That's the intro to the meal of tonight, to all of us doing what each of us are repeating and doing the exact same thing. But you know, I have to also respond to another thing that Rav Moshe Tzvi said. He said, and I take issue with this because I love when Rav Moshe Tzvi repeats himself. And Rabbi Shnal is beautiful, beautiful Torah, and I don't think it's something that we should apologize. And I'm not just introducing because I'm now going to go back to an old vort. That's not, I think that's really the yesod of the Leila Seder. You know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach met some kids on the streets of Yerushalayim. And he said to them, after Leil HaSeder, he said to them, did you ask any questions last night? So they answered, yeah, we asked the Manishtana. So he asked them, what did your father answer you? So they said, he answered me, Avodim Ayin. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asked them, didn't you ask that question last year? And they started getting, there's Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So they're like, I think so. I think it was in the Nusach HaGadol last year. And he said, but didn't your father answer that same thing last year? And they said, yeah. And they started fumbling and they didn't know how to respond. They're like, you're right. He says, why is that? So they were all nervous. And Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach said, when I was a kid your age, I was also walking through the streets of Yerushalayim. And I met Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. And Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld came up to me and he said, what did you ask last night? And he said, I asked the Manishnana. And he asked the same exact question that I just asked you, and what did your father answer you? And I started answering, Avodah Mayinu, like you guys just did. And he asked me, why'd you do that? Didn't you ask those questions and you give those answers last year? What's going on over here? So Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach said, the only difference is that when Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld said that to me, I started crying. You guys aren't crying. But I think that's the answer, Rabbi Say. It's beautiful that we're doing this. Like we said, the Maharal says, this is Yom Kippur, this is Lefnai V'Lefnin, this is wearing the Kittel. And right now we're in the Shivas Yomim, Kaidim Yom Kippur, that the Mishnah in Yuma says we have to separate, and we have to analyze, and we have to go through the Haggadah, and we have to get the Torah, and we have to connect, because this is Leil HaShimurim, this is the night. But Rabbi said, don't be scared of repetition. Don't shy away from repeating those beautiful Imrei Chaims that are Hakol B'Seder, that are really those vorts that are going to change your life. Repeat yourself. Remember those ideas that when you were children was dear to you. Remember those ideas that when you go through the Leil HaSeder, you pick your vorts that you like. You pick your anecdotes that you like. And then it's beautiful. It's a beautiful experience. You know, Rabbi Say, each one of us know that whenever you kick back with an old friend and you reminisce with an old friend, there are certain those friends that they're like those unbelievable experiences that every time we meet, we talk about the same exact. Remember the time? Remember that? Okay, it's been like 6 times already. You've seen this guy, you know, like every month. Like, or why are you repeating it? Or why? Because every time we go through that experience and we reminisce about it, it's just as enjoyable. Because it talks to us. That's something that's personalized to us. That's the answer to Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach. That's what he was trying, in my opinion, to internalize to these children. You're right, it's the same question. You're right, it's the same answer. You're right, it's the same var. But that's exactly what we want. We want you to go to through those 3 things so that this can be a Leil Shimurim. So that this can be a transformative experience that I could connect. Ah, it was a detail. I couldn't remember. There was a shtickle Torah that someone said and I can't connect back to it. And I didn't have a pen and paper Leil HaSeder. I couldn't. That's not what's going to make you a changed Jew for the rest of the year. That's not going to make you able to be Zoicher Yetzias Mitzrayim and link it back to your Sipur on the Leil HaShimurim. It's those beautiful stories. It's those beautiful questions. It's the history lesson. We don't even answer the child. This guy asked beautiful questions. This child, Manishtana Laza, very, very observant. Very, 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 he really recognized what's going on. He's analyzing things very well. Give the kid a chance. Talk to him. The reason we eat Mar is for this. The reason we do Tzvilas is for this. This is, what do you do? You're like that father. I have no answer. I don't know. What do you tell me? The answer is, it's the experiences. It's a history lesson. Sometimes there are no answers. But there is one. There's one thing that I want you to take away from this Seder, little child, is that you're a Jew. And that you went through Jewish history. And your history is something of significance. And your history dates back to Avodah Mayinu, Lefar Mitzrayim. And that will sometimes, in the darkest moments of life, when you have a lot of questions, will be the answer that will carry you through life. And therefore, I might repeat myself, and I might say the same story, but you know what? I do that to my daughter, Batsheva, every night, and she loves it. And I'm Batsheva right now. I want to go through that same story. That story that I can reminisce every year. That story that I can enjoy the same way every night. And that's why I can be a Jew for the future.
Let's pull the audience.
Keep going.
Elizabeth, come to Pat. We're gonna put a cap on her.
Should we do one more short round?
Yeah, let's do it. You're sure?
What time?
We come 10:50.
Ask him why.
You know
what time this room is being used next?
No.
Did you?
We're supposed to have a meeting.
Oh, the meeting.
We can.
I'll die here. Let's go for another one once more.
I'll come back.
Okay.
I'm out.
Yeah.